Now then, listener, in the words of Bob Dylan, the times, they are a-changing, and especially when it comes to lead generation for your recruitment company. So a couple of weeks ago, Sharon and I delivered a training day for a group of recruitment business owners, and we talked about various parts of marketing, specifically branding and lead generation. And I wanted to share with you some of the key principles around lead generation that are actually working now, because things have changed. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Recruitment Marketing Podcast with Denise Oyston and Sharon Newey. Marketing can transform the growth of your recruitment business and faster than most people realize. So join in now as we discuss how marketing can generate more clients and increase your talent pool.
So hi there, listener, and let's get into this this podcast around lead generation. In fact, I'm going to split this into two so that it's a little bit easier to digest. Similarly, we did this with the content marketing podcast that we created a couple of months ago now. So what I want to cover today is a number of areas. Number one is about the 80-20 rule and how this plays out. And a lot of people miss this when it comes to lead generation. That is fundamentally where they start to fall down. The second thing I want to talk about is the adoption cycle and why leads that actually come to you are more likely to convert. And around all that, we're going to then talk about this 7 points of contact theory as well. So let's start at the very beginning. Let's start with this 80-20 rule, known as Pareto's principle. And fundamentally, that says that 80% of anything you do comes from 20% of the activities that you indulge in, if you like. So let's just think about from a business context. So 20% of the marketing that you do probably will create around about 80% of the results that you get. My suspicion is if you were to look at your client database, that you are getting probably close to 80% of your revenue from a handful of clients. I would just check it out, but it's probably going to be about 20%. So this figure plays out in all walks of life. I know for a fact that I have many clothes in my wardrobe and I probably only wear about 20% of them, including shoes and earrings and various other things, because it's just a phenomena that seems to play out in life. So how does that affect you when it comes to your lead generation? Well, here's the thing. With lead generation, remember that you spend all this time and activity on driving people to your website, but at any one time, probably only 20% of those people are qualified. And if you follow some of the principles that we teach, we teach about capturing people's names and email addresses so that when you do that, you're getting a targeted person. Now, it may be that people that hit your website, then only 20% of them might sign up. That would actually be quite a high figure. But once they have, then you can start to market to them. Now, out of this database that you are collecting, also remember that this 80-20 rule starts to play out, and potentially only 20% of the people within that environment that are in your database will actually be likely to purchase your services or to sign up with you as a candidate, or that you'd be able to place them. And that's okay. You may say, oh God, that's frustrating, Denise, there's only that many. But the thing about it is, once you know that, then what you can do is you can really start to work out how your numbers are going to work for you. Now, the next two things that I want to cover are related to this sort of 80-20 rule, and it's about the adoption cycle and also about the 7 points of contact theory. Now, let me explain these to you. So the adoption cycle, we all at various points in our buying process are on different parts of the channel, if you like. Now, the adoption cycle happens at different rates depending on what we are buying or selling. And generally, we go through four main phases. So first of all, we become aware of the possibility that we could get our problem solved. So there's an awareness around whatever issue we have, whether that's our leads coming in or our database or whatever we've got, there's an awareness that, okay, I think I might need to do something about this. And then we probably start to do a little bit of research. Nowadays, people go online and they start surfing and they start considering who, if anybody, could help them solve that problem. So they start, there's some consideration that then starts to go on. Next, there's some sort of more buyer intent. So we find, like, for instance, for ourselves, that people become aware of us, then they start to come and read our blog, they'll sign up for our newsletter, and they'll be watching what we're doing. And then they're starting to prioritize whether they may want to start working with us. And it's exactly the same for recruitment business owners like yourself. When you think about you and your consultants, the clients and the candidates that you are interacting with, your clients and candidates and potentially talent are having these internal conversations where they become aware of you, they start to consider whether to work with you, and then they have more of an intent. Right, okay, let's pick up the phone and speak to these people. And then they start to make a decision. Now that's around the adoption cycle, and you have to think about that in the way that you actually market yourself, particularly online. And what's amazing about online, of course, is that this costs you a lot less than it did years ago. Remember when you used to have to send direct mails all the time to people to try and warm them up? Well, it's much, much easier to do that because you've got e-marketing, you've got social media that helps you create awareness. So you've all these different ways to help people move through that adoption cycle. And as they are doing it, stay with you rather than go off and start becoming aware of another recruiter down the road. And this leads in nicely to the 7 points of contact theory. It's a well-known fact that people rarely buy on the first contact point or touch point, whatever you want to call it, because they need to build up this relationship with you. And we'll come on to that in part two. But so you need to be thinking about, when you are mapping out your sales and marketing funnels, how am I going to create these points of contact? What might they be? What's going to help our candidates and clients the most? What's going to help them engage with us? So that's where it's important to start planning this out. And we had a conversation with a chap the other day, and he was talking about he'd sent some emails out and literally nothing had happened. And when we dug a little bit deeper, we found out that literally emails, as in plural, he'd sent 2 emails out over a very big gap and nothing had happened. And what happened is he'd obviously stopped too soon because he hadn't really considered the adoption cycle and how that was going to work for him and his recruitment company with regards to how he was going to build a relationship with people. So key points here for you to remember. The 80-20 rule. And remember that, you know, you need to keep having those leads coming into your funnel, because what will happen then is, according to the their adoption cycle and the points of contact theory, you want to put yourself in the best possible position to actually convert these leads as they're coming into you. So next time I'm going to talk about, you know, why are we doing this whole thing in the first place? And one of the reasons is because leads that actually come to you are statistically more likely to convert. I'm going to talk about that next time. So this is Denise, and we're just going through a short series on principles of lead generation. As always, have a look on the blog, because this will, if you're listening to this in iTunes, there will be a transcription below this recording. So this is Denise saying bye for now, and we'll see you next time.